We are news in Salt Lake City. This is Radio West. I'm Doug Fabrizio. Right now, there are people in this state seriously contemplating the consequences of being in a parade. On Sunday, Utah's gay community will gather and march through downtown Salt Lake City. This is no grim political procession. It's a parade, wild and raucous and full of joy. Some will come in flamboyant costumes, but there are others who will keep to themselves and to the fringes of the spectacle, still contemplating the full meaning of the word pride. That they're there at all will have the most significance. For many, this is part of a process. Today on Radio West, we're exploring the meaning of that term, gay pride. What is it like to have to come to terms with your sexuality, to reveal it to those close to you? And at what point do you embrace it enough to step in line and join the parade? Please join us after this news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Corey.
But it's only part of what seems to be a process. Coming to terms with it personally isn't always easy. But many gay people talk about it as a kind of evolution from realization to acceptance to downright pride in who they are. Maybe this is where someone struck upon the term gay pride to describe this month's celebration. Utah's gay community is gathering to celebrate gay pride this month with a series of events, including a film festival, a dance, and of course, a parade. Today on Radio West, we're exploring the meaning of the term gay pride. How do you describe that process of coming to terms with your sexuality? And at what point are you comfortable enough to join the parade? 585 West is the number, 585-9378, or you can email us at radiowest@kuer.org. We're going to start taking your calls at about 20 after the hour today. First, in his short film, Stephen Williams reveals that coming out to friends and family doesn't expend the suspense or resolve the questions for many. His film is called Blessing. It shows the family dynamics that gay people have to encounter, that sense of unease, the confusion, but also acceptance and love. In Williams' film, Bill has suffered a heart attack, and his wife has gathered her children and the bishop together to give the man a blessing. Things get complicated when David arrives. David is openly gay, but he figures he deserves to be a part of this religious ritual. Stephen Williams is joining us to talk about his film. Stephen is both a filmmaker and a teacher. Two of his recent short films, along with Blessing, the film The Cufflink, have been honored in more than 30 film festivals in the United States and around the world. He's taught film courses at the Salt Lake Community College since 2002. And Stephen, welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I'm not sure just what you want to say about this, but I did want to mention that you make it clear right at the beginning that this is based on a true story. Dare we say one close to you?
Yeah, we could say that. The event that happens at the end of the film was actually something that did happen to me. The characters in the film are actually fictional. I made them up. They're not. They don't represent my family. But what happens. I don't know if you're. Are you going to be?
We can talk about it. You can reveal whatever you want about the film.
Well, at the end of the film. To go back a little bit. About 10 years ago, my father had a heart attack, and we were all summoned to the hospital. He was. They put a stent in his heart, and right after surgery, we were told that we could go in and see him. He was kind of out of it. My brothers went over and they started preparing to give him a blessing, a priesthood blessing, and I had been out of the church for many years and, you know, was over on the side of the room, and in his semi-conscious state, as they went to put their hands on his head, he stopped them and looked at me. He motioned me over. He couldn't even speak, and then grabbed one hand, put it on his head, and then my other hand put it on his head. And it was a big moment for me. It was a very touching moment, and I decided I was going to make a film out of that, you know, what had happened.
I mean, we should explain that by putting your hands upon his head, that's the way Mormon priesthood holders give blessings, is laying on of hands.
Exactly, exactly.
So what about that experience made you want to express it on film?
Well, I think we tend to be very certain about, you know, we have our rules about worthiness and who is worthy and who is not. I think in any organization there are the worthy and the unworthy. And I think they are, man-made distinctions, you know, maybe necessary to keep organizations going. but they exclude, and I think they're very harmful in a lot of senses, even though I acknowledge that they have to exist to some extent.
Yeah.
And that moment transcended all of that for me. I got, you know, I think the, you know, the only way to heal the situation is the idea, is spiritually, the idea of unconditional love. So that's what I was trying to say with the film.
I want to ask about one of the early scenes in the film. The family's gathered, and David arrives. A knock comes at the door, the doorbell rings. This is after dinner, and his mother collects herself to go to the door to answer it, and she sees him. And I'm wondering, Stephen Williams, how do you describe what her expression is revealing? Because this is more than just disappointment. There's some complicated thing that's going on, and I'm guessing that people know what this is about. I mean, this is...
Well, it's probably a little hard to describe. Yeah. I don't know how to really put that in words. I tried to represent that character as being... It seemed like everybody comes from a different place. Yeah. When there's a controversial issue. Some people are attack. Some people are kind of benignly tolerant, condescending. And then there's those who just pretend it's not happening.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the role I gave to the mother. It's actually the stepmother.
Stepmother, right.
That she just is going to smile and pretend with all of her, you know, the aversion that's going on inside of her, she's going to smile, put a smile on it, and pretend it's just not happening.
But there's a kind of, and this is what's so interesting about it, it's complicated because there's a kind of unease, you know, it's not hatred, and I'm wondering if you...
Discomfort.
Yeah. I'm wondering if you're sympathetic to that in some ways, that what do we say, what do we do?
Well, it's, I think, without a lot of, you know, educating and, I mean, people were raised in a certain tradition, they believed a certain way, and then something new is thrown at them, they have to act like it's okay, but they're not comfortable with it, and... that I think would probably personify that character. Deeply, she's not comfortable with the sexuality of her stepson.
The character in the film, none of the characters are you know, black or white caricatures, and I think that's what's so interesting about it.
Thank you for saying that. That's what I was going for.
Well, the bishop, for example. I mean, I found him to be surprisingly sympathetic, surprisingly in that here's this religious figure, and you could have painted him as, you know, this kind of one-dimensional person, but you didn't. Talk about that character, the bishop.
Well, I think he's really, you know, he's kind of one of the pivotal characters. I think it's really the father's story, ultimately. But I was in the Mormon Church for many, many years, and I was treated very kindly by a number of bishops who... and, you know, I was at that was a vulnerable point in my own life, and it could have been, you know, being treated harshly could have been disastrous for me. And I wanted to portray the bishop as somebody who's really a thinking person, who sees it with his heart, not just following the rule book. So, and then I think that, you know, that portrayal, that character's portrayal by Ron Fredrickson really added to the humanity and compassion of that character.
I want to play a clip from the film because it asks a number of questions, but just a quick setup. David and his sister in this scene are in a room just off of another room, and the men, Mormon men there, are just within earshot, and they're going over the preparations for this blessing, I suppose. And I guess that's all we need to say for this at this point, because so there's some questions I want to play for you. This is clip number one.
So, who wants to anoint and who wants to give the blessing?
Do you want to give the blessing, Bishop?
No, I'll just stand in the circle. I think Bill would want his sons to do it.
You do the blessing.
I think Bill would want his sons to do it.
You do this every time. You knew when you came over here.
I should just go home.
Why do you even care? You should thank heaven you're free from all that.
I've got some more.
So do I. Yeah, me too. I'll use that.
Come on, David, come on.
They think they're so good.
You ready for us, Nancy?
No, just like you. You're good as just the marriage.
I think they could use some help.
Don't. It won't do any good, and you know it.
His sister asks him, why do you still care? Why does he still care?
Well, he's been raised in this tradition, and it's been a part of him since he was a kid. And even though he's left it, I don't know that those feelings ever go away, that the feelings of yearning toward your roots. And he feels left out. And even though, you know, he's worked things through, he has an idea of who he is, has a sense of his identity, and he knows that he's chosen out. He's still, and they're going in to bless his father, and he'd like to be a part of that.
He also says there at the end, it won't do any good. What's the meaning of that? It won't do any good. How are you thinking about that?
Well, it's actually, you know, the only person, until the very end, the only person who gets it, who gets this idea of, you know, unconditional love and acceptance, is the father. David is actually going in to rattle their chains. He's there to get them back. So he's in the same boat, actually, as they are in. It's this huge divide.
He's got a smirk on his face.
He's got a smirk on his face, and he's going to stick it to him by saying, the unmentionable question, can I be involved in this blessing? So he's under the same, you know, illusion of this division as they are. And then that starts, of course, it starts the fight. He's actually going in to pick a fight.
Yeah. Well, let's play that clip as well, a portion of this, because we're sort of set up now for this impasse.
Yes, David.
I'd like to stand in the circle for the blessing. I'm not asking to say the blessing. I just want to stand in the circle with you guys. Is that so horrible?
Are you worthy, David?
Depends on what you mean by worthy.
David.
I think Dad would want me to.
Dad is straight down the line.
I'm not so sure about that.
He does a lot of nice things for you, David. But you can't expect him to change his beliefs just because of your lifestyle.
You had the priesthood. And you gave it up to live with Gerald. You don't even know what you're talking about.
God's law is God's law. That's what Dad always says.
Oh, I'm glad everyone knows so much about Dad.
You want him to get well, don't you?
Tyler. Oh, so if I help with the blessing, he'll die?
I didn't say that.
God, that is the stupidest. He's my father as much as he is yours. I have every right.
No, you don't. Not while.
While what?
This is not appropriate. And don't take the Lord's name in vain.
That's enough. I'm sorry, David, but I can't make an exception here. You have to be living by the rules.
Straight down the line.
It's interesting, Stephen Williams, that, as you say, no one's really getting it here. Although you get a sense the bishop is getting it in some ways. I mean, because you, again, I think you sympathize with him. On one hand, he feels constrained by the rules, yet just looking at him, and I get this is the visual part of this film that's hard to express by radio, but there's this kind of look of compassion, this look of, it's not confusion, but it's he's really in a dilemma in some ways.
Yeah, exactly. He would, his heart, he's got a very kind heart, and he hates to see the division that's happening. But he is, you know, he is, I don't know what the word would be, he's an official in the church and feels like he has to, you know, toe the party line. He has to say what is correct, and that, you know, that's his purpose in this setting. But he's very split about it.
There's not a lot to play in this clip, but I did want to play this last clip. I need you to tell us what's happening. This is the moment when, as you say, as has happened with in your circumstance, Bill takes David's hands and puts them on his head.
Well, it's this one's actually pretty much true to life to what actually happened. The brothers, they all file in. The brothers prepare to give the blessing, and you know, the first brother anoints, and then they go and they move in with their hands to seal the anointing, and Bill, the father, waves the hands away, and then motions to David. David climbs up. There's no room where the brothers are standing, so he actually climbs up on the bed, and the father takes David's hands and puts them on his head. David pulls them off instinctively and looks at the bishop with this look of, you know, I don't know what's going on here. I didn't cause this. And the bishop says, David can't. He's not allowed to. And he says, David can't. And then the father again places David's hands on his head.
Give your blessing, Tom. Give your blessing.
And that scene is expressed in, again, it's a visual, so hard to express through a clip, but what's the decision the bishop's made?
It's the higher law. It just seems to be, it's, you know, he's inspired or whatever it is to say, this is what's important here. The love in this family, the connection here, is more important, and this person who has been very close to death may have a greater insight into what's happening than everyone else who is in, you know, who's completely conscious.
And then, and really, and only then, in his expression, does David seem to understand the full meaning, don't you think?
Exactly. He's not thinking that he's going to go and be a, you know, priesthood holder again, but he is moved by the love that his father has for him that knows no conditions.
Stephen Williams, his film is called Blessing, and are you going to be screening it again in the near future?
It's been screening, you know, around the country, around the world. We don't right now have any screening set up for Salt Lake, but, you know, I'd like there to be if that opportunity arises.
There's a chance for people to get a hold of the film?
Absolutely. My website is www.subtextfilms.com, and they can order a copy there.
Stephen Williams, today in the program we're exploring the meaning of the term gay pride. What is it like to come to terms with your sexuality, to reveal it to those close to you, and at what point do you embrace it enough to step in line and join the parade? 585 West is the number, 585-9378, our email address, radiowest@kuer.org. We're going to take a break, back in a moment. This is Radio West on FM 90.
Thanks for joining KUER FM 90 Salt Lake City for the rebroadcast of Radio West from KUER News. This program was recorded this morning. We cannot take your phone calls this evening, but you can join the